How about you, Jenny? What kind of Asian were you this week?
I'm gonna get real.
Yeah.
I was a little sad Asian due to the state of the world.
Yes. And welcome everyone to the Asian Not Asian podcast, the podcast where elaborate mood lighting is constantly changing. Oh my God, I don't know how I did that. I'm your host, Mike Nguyen.
And I'm Jenny Arimoto.
And yes, welcome to the show. We're here recording, coming at you live from Canal Street Market. And we're doing a little fun.
The color are changing in this room. It's like it's party.
It's crazy. I used to have a Scion XB. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's that box, that really boxy car.
Oh, yes.
I used to have one of those.
Yes. They were extra boxy.
So
like,
boxy.
Boxier than the Kia.
It was
like
a box.
Angular.
It was very angular.
Yeah.
When I got into that car, it was so tall that I would just open the door. And you know, you got to like duck into a car usually.
Yeah.
Not me, that one. So angular, I just open and just walk in like a refrigerator. It was so nice. I don't know if we're going to figure this out.
Is green okay?
Green's fine.
Okay.
You know what? It's giving me Mountain Dew vibes. I'm a Mountain Dew Asian today. Anyways, welcome to the show where two Asian people try to figure out mood lighting for their podcast. If you are listening to this show on Spotify, give us a follow. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, you know what? Give us 5 stars. Leave us a review. If you're checking us out on YouTube, hi, YouTube. Go ahead and hit subscribe. If you're... you know, and if you're feeling a little fancy, go ahead and leave a comment. We'd love to hear what was your first car? I would love to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Mine first car. What was your first car?
A 1996 Avalon.
Oh, shit.
That was my grandpa's.
Hell yeah. That's regal as shit.
I know. It was dark green.
Yeah.
And the seat, I'm so small, I couldn't sit on the seat and see fully over the dashboard. So I had to put like a booster seat underneath me.
Wait, when you were driving?
Yes, when I was 16.
Oh, my God.
Because it was an old car, so like the seat didn't go up and down very much. And so I had to sit on a booster seat, and everyone always be like, Jenny in her booster seat in my 1996 Avalon.
Oh my gosh.
I loved that car until my brother crashed it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well,
drag him. Drag my brother
him.
In the comments.
Come on. Yeah. Drag Jenny's brother in the comments. Fucking Avalon, bitch. Yes. Let us know what you're listening to. We're just going to get right into it because this is like a fun Lucy episode. We're just hanging out here at Canal Street Market. And we're just going to get right into it. I don't know. I guess I can go first.
Yeah.
If any of you want to ask me.
Mike, what kind of Asian were you this week?
Jeez, I was a... I was going to do this for the next one. I'll do it right now. You know, I was a wait, don't tell me Asian. And
yes.
It was very
challenging. How was it? Okay.
So I recorded... I was on this nice, fun, for people who don't know, Wait, Don't Tell Me is this NPR show. It's been going on for like years, decades and decades. I listened to it when I was like, you know, in high school or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun like game, quote unquote game show, funny game show. And they have a side podcast that's attached to it where they just kind of get deeper in on some of the topics, but like in a fun, funny way, right?
Yeah.
Emma Choi, who was like our first guest for this
new
season.
Yeah, yeah. Emma's so great.
She's great. She goes to Harvard, of course. You have to mention when someone else goes to Harvard. That's the rule.
Yeah.
So she is also a host for this thing, and she had me on, and it was a lot of fun. It was really hard.
Okay.
It was just like they give you a topic and the show is supposed to be like a news show, right? And you know, it's supposed to be about like, oh, they found out that rats are actually great drivers. I don't know, something like that, right?
Sure.
And then you make jokes about it. And if you listen to the one I did, it was about how there can be no more Elvis impersonator weddings in Vegas. Okay.
Why?
I guess the estate of Elvis Presley didn't want it anymore.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
I thought
Elvis weddings?
Yeah. Well, no, I knew Elvis weddings was a
thing,
but I thought it had passed into like, you know, the public domain.
Oh, I see.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It, like, if you wanted to have Mozart marry you, yeah, Mozart. Nobody knows what Mozart looks like, but...
Can they do knockoff Elvis then? Where it's like, I'm just kind of like old-timey guy who stole music from black people guy. Like, you know?
Is that your Elvis?
Yeah.
That was a hot dude, man.
Instead of hound dog, you're like, ain't nothing but a bulldog or whatever. Like, you just make up a knockoff version.
I think you have to now. Okay. I think you're going to have to. You're going to have to go down and download an illegal Elvis skin from LimeWire.
Right.
And do that. But they give you that topic. By the way, that the thing you just did, the riff here you just did, way funnier than anything I did on the show. But it was like, yeah, it was like on the spot, you kind of like make some jokes. And they have like prompts. And again, the people there are so nice. The producers and Emma's great. But it was just like, I was like sweating, you know? I was like, oh, how do I make jokes about this? Like, my humor is not Elvis humor,
right.
You know? Or not, I don't really even do topical things.
Yeah.
This is not my thing. I wish I could, you know?
It's hard.
It's very hard.
It is very hard.
And to do it in a way where it doesn't feel like, I don't know. I think if you're you're panicking, where if the first thing you want to do with a joke is like do something really blue,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Like Elvis butthole, ha,
yeah.
ha, you know, like you know you're because
it's
that's
like improv 101 stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Where someone comes up and then they're just like penis, and you're like, okay, no, that's not funny inherently. Like,
I love that. I love improv 101. Anyways, that was me. It was difficult, but it was a lot of fun, and it was cool to do. It's almost like I got on to the equivalent of like The Price is Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I watched this as a kid and always thought, oh my gosh, that would be so cool to do this. And now I got on in a way. Like, there is like the wait, don't tell me on the proper show,
mm-hmm.
which I think maybe this was like a tryout. Who knows? But it's like, oh, the people who are on there are always like, I would call icons of liberal elite comedy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Paula Poundstone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's Hari Kondabolu. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
It's like these like people who are like who are funny and have masters of public health.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Both.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have either one. You don't got a master's of public health at all. But that was me. It was a lot of fun again, and I'm going to be working on that, and I'm going to be working on knockoff Elvis, because I think that's a hilarious...
Yeah, little pitch.
How to bulldog.
Yeah.
How about you, Jenny? What kind of Asian were you this week?
I'm going to get real.
Yeah.
I was a little sad Asian due to the state of the world.
Yes.
And, you know, I did run this by Mike. I was like, is it okay for me to bring this up?
Yes.
I do feel that it's impossible to avoid talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think obviously Roe v. Wade was overturned.
Yep.
And I kind of, like probably a lot of people, are having a moment right now.
Yep.
I did go to the protest yesterday.
Okay, good.
Which was really reminded me of my Berkeley roots.
Yeah. Did you go to a lot of protests in Berkeley?
I literally, within my first 2 weeks at Berkeley, it might have been my first week, was like the student walkout, because when I went was when they had the huge tuition hikes.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that was truly like right when I started. And so I, within like the first less than a month, I was like doing the protest, because everyone was doing the protest.
Whoa, I'm proud of you. By the time you went to Berkeley, people were more kind of conscious. And then
totally.
Even now, I think they're probably even more conscious.
Yes.
Right, which I think is great, because, hey, you know what? Most of y'all aren't going to be doctors. You got to be aware of what's happening in the world.
Right.
So anyway, but continue. You went to the protest.
Yeah, I went to the protest because, to be honest, I was feeling very helpless. And
yeah.
I still do. And
yeah.
I think I always walk that line of like feeling helpless, but also knowing that feeling helpless isn't going to be useful in the long term. So I let myself feel helpless for a little bit. Because at a certain point you have to, if you just like, if you feel that you can't do anything,
yep.
that's the worst feeling.
Yep.
You know? And that's when people usually become like apolitical or like
yes.
whatever.
Like, you just give
like,
up.
Yeah, you give up.
Mm.
And so I'm like, that's like maybe the most dangerous feeling. So I'm like letting myself feel that for a second, but not letting myself live in that. But yesterday I was like, what can I do? Like today, I think I just need to be not near my laptop or my
yes.
phone. And I need to just like see other people who are angry and like feel that there is like, we're doing something. And so I just was like, I'm gonna just go and just like stand and just be in it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It's been
where was the protest?
I went to the Washington Square Park one.
Okay, cool.
Which was huge. There were many people, which was great. Yeah, I had this moment of like, I don't know, both helplessness, but also like, okay, seeing like people of all generations there also makes me feel like this is a fight that has been happening for so long. And like, it's like so many people want this and believe, not want this, we deserve it.
Yeah.
It's healthcare.
No, is this like a thing, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like a basic right.
Exactly. So, and I try to not spiral into my feeling of helplessness. I think about all of the work that was done by generations before us, and all like what was the fight, you know, even before then. Like I think about all the progress that has been made up to this point.
Yep.
To not lose hope.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like trying to be funny yesterday, like write funny things, and it did not happen.
It
kind of doesn't happen when your rights are taken away.
Yeah, it was very hard. I feel to concentrate.
I know. I don't know how. I don't have a job right now, but I don't know how. I don't know if people actually worked. Like, how can you work after that? I don't know.
It's it doesn't even feel like I mean, there's always people always making this joke that like the last four. Whatever 5-10 years have been very surreal.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember when the whole January 6th riot thing was happening.
Of course.
I was like watching and I was like, this looks like a bad movie. You know, like this is like not a, this is like a weird, like B plot of a Michael Bay movie or something.
Yeah.
And then it was really happening and I was like, wow, this is getting kind of crazy. And it's just like one after another. And this one is like, you feel like the floor can't go any lower.
Yeah.
But then there's like,
I know other things are on the table.
Out.
Exactly.
Right. Yes.
I think that's the thing. It's like I don't know how you could not be radicalized in the last few years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because increasingly I'm like, it's impossible to not have a stance.
Right.
It's like you have to.
Right.
I have been radicalized.
Yeah.
Like I was like a political science major at Berkeley. Like I always had like a stance, but it's gotten more intense in the past.
I definitely think it feels like, you know, to your point about it, you know, I feel before people used to say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter who you vote in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or it doesn't really matter because it's kind of like these things are going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't know, that's not true, you know? Like, I know people don't like, you know, Hillary, or they don't like whatever.
Nancy.
Yeah, fine, you know? Like, but this, you can draw a straight line from somebody getting elected to this.
Yeah.
It's a straight line.
I know. I think it's, like, the part that frustrates me is that, like, the emails that come out afterwards are like, give us money because things are going bad from, like, the Democrats. And I'm just
Yeah. This does make you feel like I was reading somewhere about, you know, there might be, you know, of course there's going to be protests, but if there was like a, you know, like a big walkout of like every woman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that would be, I think, sweet. And it would just be, it's like a flex of your power. And, you know, we were kind of talking about this before. I feel like, you know, a demonstration of power is never like, we're going to do the same thing as we did before, which is like, let's march in the thing and blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm not an advocate for, you know, throwing bricks through windows, but I understand why people want to throw bricks through windows.
Totally. Yeah.
Because you can't like, you know, you can't like expect everything to be the same if you keep doing the same things.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And I think the other thing we're talking about, which I've increasingly as I've gotten older realize, is everything is made up. Everything.
Oh.
Everything that we live by and we think is like,
it's all made up.
Yeah. It's like rules and all that stuff. We made that up.
I was talking to one of my friends. He's a friend of the pod and he just graduated from law school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let me ask you a question. So the Supreme Court, this is just a guy's opinion, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yep, because it's not like science where, you know, as time goes on and you're doing the right science, you learn more.
Right.
And maybe there's more nuance and there's more things, you know, oh, we now understand how gravity works or like how, you know, evolution is about this or whatever, whatever. It doesn't feel that way with a lot of things in society and with law where it's like, because, you know, 50 years ago when Roe v. Wade happened, a bunch of very smart people who have a lot of experience of whatever were like, okay, it's this.
Yeah.
And then 50 years later, they're like, no, it's this.
Yeah, exactly. It's just made up.
Well, you just, did you? I could do that. I know. I could do, put me up. Put me in the Supreme Court. Oh, well, you don't have the credentials. Your credentials are made up.
Yeah. Everything is made up.
It's made up.
Yeah.
You made this up.
Yeah.
This is bullshit.
Exactly. That's know? Like what I've learned. Like even things like the economy are made up. I just always like everything's made up. When the GameStop stocks thing happened last year, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
The stock market is made
the
up.
The GameStop market is made up.
Yeah. It's like everything is just fake. We just like prescribe it meaning or like give it value,
yes,
you know?
It does. Yes. And it feels like, oh, well, you know, it should be, it feels, you know, because there's precedent and tradition that right. like it's more durable.
Right.
But it could just like disappear exactly. on you in a second and we could all just decide not to do it.
Yes.
You know, there's like always books about like social movements, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, you look at the Arab Spring. That all happened off after one guy got arrested and that blew up from one incident to everything.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if hope is the word, but I do feel like that's all it would take.
Yeah.
Something else happens, you know, and everybody is like, what the fuck, you know? Yeah. I don't know if that will like make lasting change, but I mean, it feels like the conditions are there, right? Yeah. For people to be like, I'm very upset about this. I don't know and I want you to talk more.
Oh,
I am
no.
a straight man, so.
I just was like, I'm like not a, I'm not super smart about stuff. So like, I don't want to get in, I don't know the details. I can't even argue the details of things or like, you know, I'm just like reading other people's opinions. And I'm like, anything that sounds smart, I'm like, oh, you yeah, know, like yeah, I'm that yeah. person. I just know that like, I feel
yes.
like I feel just bad.
Yeah.
And I think it's a hard time. So I'm acknowledging for everyone that it's a hard time and that it's okay to like feel helpless for a second and just like let yourself, you know,
Jenny, you
disconnect.
First of all, you are a very smart person.
Thank you.
Okay. But B, and even more importantly, clearly it doesn't take any smarts to do this. Okay. All right, Clarence.
To podcast?
To be in the Supreme Court.
Podcasting takes work.
Podcasting's hard. You know how many tabs I have open?
I know.
I have way more tabs open than Clarence Thomas has. Clarence Thomas has zero tabs open. Okay.
I know. You have like all these jocks with notes.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
He's just like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
I don't care. He's not.
No, he's not.
I was reading just to lower the floor even more.
Yeah.
That like other things may on be on
yes,
the table.
Exactly.
I don't know. I hope that's not sensationalizing it. But at this point.
No, but Clarence Thomas said it's on the table.
Okay. The guy with no tabs.
Yeah.
The guy with no tabs.
That has literally never opened one tab in his life.
Never opened one tab. Doesn't even know. Probably
doesn't
he's
even
probably
know.
Using Internet Explorer, which was sunsetted 2 weeks ago. Anyways, but you know, so it's like I don't know how I would say no, that's impossible. But no, they just did it. They just like removed a bunch of rights for a big right for which affects half of the people in the
right.
country.
But
so
it affects
like,
everybody.
I mean, it does affect. You're right. It does affect everybody. So then, does that mean like they can just roll back rights?
Yeah.
You know.
And I think we're learning. Yes.
Yeah. And which would I guess what would that even look like? You know, you can't do this. You can't do that.
Yeah. I sometimes think about what my parents think in terms yeah. of, or like older generations
yeah.
that moved here
yeah.
from other countries. Because that era of America, you move here because there's opportunity, because
yes.
there's freedom. There's
right.
like, you know, it's a place where you go to achieve your dreams.
Yeah.
And so I always wonder what my thoughts are from like that generation of people when they see this happening or
yeah.
if something affects their kids. Like, what do they think?
I wonder if, well, first of all, I know what a lot of Vietnamese people think because we are, a lot of us are Catholic,
sure.
you know, that sort
so
of thing.
So this is all like, okay.
This is okay. I think they wouldn't think of it as in terms of rights.
Yeah.
I would wonder if a lot of people, a lot of immigrants, you know, they come to this country to, like you said, because there's opportunity and there's you know, freedom and stuff like that. But they came from places where they didn't have that.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they would just be like, yep, it's the same here.
Yeah.
Just like back where we came from.
Right.
Right. You know, you look at, you know, a lot of places. I'm not even talking about like, you know, quote unquote third world countries.
Sure.
A lot of places you don't have freedom to do stuff. You know what I'm saying? You can't like speak out against the government. You know, you
totally.
Things will just you know, you just don't do it. Like,
right.
There's not like a public sphere. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You just do your thing. You own your shop and you shut the fuck up, and the government might leave you alone.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, so I feel like you come here and they might be like, yeah, that's just how it is. You know
right.
what I'm saying? That's a cynical take,
mm-hmm.
but I could see why, you know,
yeah.
if it could happen here, it could happen anywhere. So yeah, I do. I think it's a heartbreaking thing because you like to think that America is exceptional in some way.
It's not. Absolutely not.
It is not. It's made up.
Yeah.
Everything's made up.
That was put into my brain pretty early as a kid.
What?
That America's not exceptional.
Yeah.
Yeah. My parents made it very clear.
Yeah.
They're like, it's not an exceptional place. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I think the one thing America has that's exceptional is like we got a lot more Texas than everybody else. You know?
A lot more Texas?
Yeah. Just like land.
Oh, know? Land?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just have, I think that was the thing. I have this weird geography-based theory that if you don't like someone and you have other beliefs, the best thing to do is just pick up and move away.
Yeah.
Right? And America could do that for a long time because it's just, we have a big ass country.
Right.
It's fucking huge.
Yeah.
It's like as big as
I understand what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? But like in Europe and other places, like, oh, I can't go anywhere. Like
yeah.
we just have to stay here and,
right.
and either fight it out or deal with it in
right.
some way. But in America, it's like, well, we can do whatever we want. We can go and move to Utah and marry all of our daughters and shit like that. And you could just do it.
Right.
Because it was just so fucking big. So that's what like kind of allowed for stability. So because it was just like literally manifest destiny, just
yeah.
gonna move away and just figure, you know. And now we have less of that, and so it's like now everyone's like, oh shit, now we had to actually deal with our shit.
Deal with things, yeah.
That was a simplistic take. I'm a simple person, okay? I don't have that many tabs open. I got five.
Ultimately, we're comedians.
This is supposed to be funny, but it's not, and I don't know how it's supposed to be. I don't know how we're gonna be funny ever again.
But I just had to get it out of my system. Just to have that conversation.
Okay.
Now we can be funny.
Okay, I'm glad that you brought this up.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear what other people have to say. I'm gonna get some my marching sneakers on.
Yeah.
You know, I'll see you out on in the streets.
I know.
Right?
I need to like start saving my cardboard for signs. I was like, I don't have any cardboard.
I will say, I think we're better. The masses are better prepared for protests than before. We all have masks.
Everyone, I was going to say, people had t-shirts, hats,
yep.
signs that were pre-printed. I was like, people are ready to go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go somewhere.
Well, you know me, Mike. You know me, right?
I know.
If you know this, if you know anything about me, you know that I'm out there.
Yes.
I'm out there pounding. And a lot of people are like, Fumi, why are you so good at pounding? And by a lot of people,
I always ask that. Yeah, I don't even believe you.
By a lot of people, I just mean Mike. The secret is, it is Helix Sleep Mattress. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Why would you buy a mattress made for someone else? With Helix, you're getting a mattress that you know will be perfect for the way you sleep and pounding.
Everybody's unique and pounds uniquely, and Helix knows that. So they have several different mattress models to choose from. They have soft, medium, and firm, wink, wink, mattresses. Mattresses great for cooling you down if you get hot. And even a Helix Plus mattress for plus-size sleepers because, hey, man, everybody needs love.
Just go to helixsleep.com/Asian. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to the customized mattress that will give you the best sleep/pound of your life.
They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for free for 100 nights, risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will.
Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helix.com/Asian.
That's helix.com/Asian for up to $200 off. And when you're doing your threesomes, mm-hmm, 2 mm-hmm. free pillows.
Now back to this.
I use a bunch of techniques to take care of my mind. Sometimes it's meditating. Sometimes I'm just relaxing. Sometimes I'm writing jokes or I'm connecting with people. There's also BetterHelp online therapy. I think therapy is so important. It lets you work on you, lets you address things in a space that's safe and is centered around what you're going through. I've been to several kinds of therapy, and I use the tools I learned in therapy to this day. BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat-only therapy sessions. It's more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Asian. That's BETTERHELP.com/Asian. We're going to get into some voicemails today.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know what? And I hope, and you know what? This will be interesting. So we got two voicemails from two people from Australia in the same week.
Incredible.
Crazy.
I think it blows my mind that people are listening from Australia.
I'm always just spiraling, and I'm always like, why do I do this? Why do I? what is the point? And then I'll get a voicemail from some dude or dudes in Australia. I'm just like, I'm really touching someone in Australia. I know.
That's so cool.
It's so cool. We also have downloads from like people all the way in Estonia. There's some one Asian guy in Estonia or something who's doing his thing in Estonia. I have no idea what Estonia is like. But, you know, he's just like listening. He's like, yeah, these guys get me. You know?
I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah, dude, I had an Avalon too.
Yeah.
You know? That's cool. So, yeah, we're going to get into these voicemails. If you want to get up on these voicemails, you can. You can just leave us one. The number is 646-809-7231. It can be about anything. It's wide open. You can talk about what kind of Asian you were. You can ask if something's Asian or not Asian. You can just rant. You can leave us praise. That's cool too. Yeah. Again, 646-809-7231. And we're going to get right into it. Here's our first one. This guy was very sweet because he like didn't know if he could call the number from Australia. You can. But he didn't know if he could. So he left a voicemail through like a DM. So check this out.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Jenny. My name's Anthony Van from Australia, Melbourne. And this week, I am a football manager Asian. And for those of you who don't know, football manager in the States would probably be called soccer manager, is a video game, and it's a simulation game. And essentially, it's just tons of spreadsheets and processing. And what you do is you manage a football team, and you make tactics, and you look after contracts, and you try to encourage players to play well and just support their development. And I'm a football manager Asian because instead of working in my government job, I've been working from home and just playing this game on my personal laptop whilst pretending to be online on Teams. So, a football manager Asian. Thanks for the great content. Love it. Shouts to all of my Asian brothers and sisters in Australia who also listen to the show. And keep up the good work. Love it. Bye.
Oh, yeah. Keep
Melbourne.
Up the good work.
From Melbourne.
From Melbourne. Oh, man.
That is so funny.
I don't know what it is. I had a theory for a while that there's something about the combination of being Asian and Australian that makes you the coolest person in the world. It's the coolest combination.
My old manager was also...
Was he?
She.
Yeah, excuse me.
You know, women can be managers now. She was Asian from Australia.
Was she cool?
So cool. But she could say anything and I'd be like, whoa, that's so cool.
Jenny, you're getting fired?
Awesome. And I'm like, whoa. That's so cool.
I've been fired. I love this thing.
I did not expect football manager Asian to
football
be that.
Manager Asian. I was too. I first was thinking he literally is like a rec league.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? He's carrying all the balls.
Yeah.
I've seen Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's wearing his tracksuit.
Exactly.
And he's got his whistle and he's got like those little cones that are really, really flat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes.
And he's like
flat cones. I don't know what they're called.
Flat cones. He's got the flat cones and he's like throwing them around and he's got, you know, and like he's like, all right, everybody, let's practice our footy. And like they're running around. And
your accent is actually better than mine, though. I can't do it.
It's really good. So he's doing his thing and that's what I thought. But no.
No.
It's a video game, first of all.
Yeah.
And second, I tried looking this up. I didn't look that hard, but yeah. I was like, what is this gameplay like?
Right.
And I'm just imagining spreadsheets.
I know.
And
I was imagining FIFA at first.
Right, me too.
And then it immediately went to spreadsheets. I was like, what?
What?
That's so funny.
Yeah, I think
you're supporting the player's morale as well.
Yeah, he says the way he's encouraging.
Encouraging.
Just like come on, you can do it. You know?
Yeah. Or like, I wonder if it's like different choices come up and it's like a player does badly and it's like, scold him for he's getting paid yeah. too much to perform like this. Throw something at
yeah,
him. Or
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, rub his back. Tell him that he's actually doing a good job.
Ask him about his home life.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
get into the depths of why he might be playing poorly on a therapy level. Like,
yeah. Put more points into his therapy like yeah. column in Excel. Yeah. And it's like click click, you know.
I fucking
love that. I think that is great. Do you ever do any like fantasy league or anything like that?
No. Okay. I will say, though, that this reminded me of when I played The Sims when I had COVID, and I made one of my Sims try to become a stand-up comedian. And then I had a moment, like, when I was leveling up by practicing in the mirror, I was like, what am I doing? I should be doing this in real... I should be writing my own material, not having my Sims work on their material.
So in Sims, can you make... how do you guide them into that? Do they have their own...
So you choose like a career path and you can like have Sims who don't care that much about their like career and they're more about like relationships or whatever. But I chose one that wanted to become I made mine want to become a comedian because I was just like, what does that mean? And you have to up your charisma level.
Oh, yeah.
And so you like practice speaking. So you just like have your Sim stand in front of the mirror. It's like,
oh,
and I was like watching my Sim do this. And then that's when I was like, I should be doing this in real life. Like, I shouldn't be directing my Sim to do that.
They got it wrong. Okay, comedians have no charisma. Okay,
that's very true.
They should have the Sim just sit in the corner brooding.
Yeah.
And just crying.
Or, like, tweeting.
And tweeting. and getting banned from subreddits.
Yeah.
I think that's great. This definitely sounds like a game I could get into. I'm not really, like, a footy person. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if there's like a war simulation game, there's one about like the Napoleonic War.
Mm.
And it's like all these different like units and they have different strengths and you got to tell them to do different things and blah, blah, blah. And it's like not even really about the fighting. It's
right.
more about like
the strategy.
It's more about like the morale of the soldiers. Right. You're like, so you're like asking the soldiers, like, how are you doing?
Are you still having fun?
Francois, it's about just trying your best, Francois, and fighting the British.
And fun, like you have like a birthday party in the beginning. It's like, it's actually Francois' 26th birthday.
Oh my God, congrats, Dragoons. So I feel that. I then, on the next layer of him pretending to work and playing Football Manager on his personal laptop.
Yes.
First of all, congrats, because I might have tried to play it on my work laptop. Just like install it.
Right.
And you know, if it runs better on, you know, like on my work laptop, I'll just run it. You know, and it'll make it look like I'm typing mad fast.
Right.
And hey, it's spreadsheets. You don't even
know.
If somebody like remotes in and maybe IT's checking in on your work, dude, this guy's got mad spreadsheets though. Holy shit.
Yeah, he's like, whoa, he's filled out a lot of spreadsheets. That's crazy.
this guy gets a promotion.
Yeah, exactly. The amount of money per salary per player is a lot, but that's still, you know.
there's you know, we're a fi tech company, but you know, he is doing something somewhat related since there's so many numbers involved. That's amazing, Anthony. I think that is great.
And respect.
Respect.
Anti-work culture. I'm all about that.
Anti-work. But using your brain power for something else.
Yeah.
Completely.
I guess you're working, you are literally working a second job. That's what you're doing right now.
Here's the thing too, is that yes, he's not being paid to do this second job. Welcome to America. That's mostly how side hustles
this is
work.
The American experience.
Yeah. There should be a American simulator where you have your like your job and then you have your side hustle.
Yeah, exactly. And you have two laptops going at the same time doing two spreadsheets.
And then you also have to find childcare.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And then you're driving Uber, you know what I'm saying? So it's like Grand Theft Auto, but you have to follow the law really closely, and then your boss gets mad at you because you didn't email back, and you're like, oh shit, I gotta go back to my first job.
That's incredible. I support it.
I also love that, you know, just last thing, just I've been to Australia once, mm-hmm. Australia and New Zealand, and I did love Melbourne. I loved it.
I don't know how to say it because you have to say Melbourne. You
yes.
know what I mean?
Like, yes.
Because I've also been.
Here you have.
My friend who I was visiting who lived there or who was living in Queensland. Where was she? Brisbane. Mm. Brisbane.
Brisbane.
So we went to Melbourne.
Melbourne.
But you have to say it like that, Melbourne. You know, like as an American, I feel weird saying that Melbourne.
Melbourne.
It's not Melbourne. Melbourne.
It was a fun experience. I thought everybody was pretty nice. They love coffee.
Yes. Let me just say, though, I went in the winter, quote unquote,
yeah,
winter.
Me too. Yeah.
And it was 72 degrees.
Right.
And I went to go buy, like, I was like shopping, and they're like, oh, are you from America? I was like, yeah, I'm like, it's too bad that you came when it's this weather.
Oh, I know.
Like, it's too bad that it was like, it's so cold. Like, you should come in the summer. I was literally like, this is so warm.
Are you kidding me? This is
gorgeous.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm wearing two pairs of shorts.
Yeah.
One day we will go to Melbourne. Do a little tour, mm-hmm. you know? Maybe Ronnie opens for us. What's up?
Oh, yeah. The twist.
The twist?
Ronnie opens for us.
For us. And then I just bomb.
Yeah.
We just bomb. Okay. That's the first one. And let's get on to this other one. I haven't listened to this one, so hopefully this is okay. It should be fine. Oh, it's really long.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
This is another gentleman from Down Under. Going online without ExpressVPN, it's like using your smartphone without a protective case. Why would you take the chance? Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in a cafe, at a hotel, etc., your online data isn't secure, and any hacker on the same network can gain access to and steal your personal data. It's that simple. So what does ExpressVPN do? It creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. It's so secure, it would take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. All you gotta do is fire up the app, click one button, and you're protected. I love ExpressVPN because it's so easy to use. Just one click and go. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Asian. That's expressvpn.com/Asian, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/Asian. This summer, give yourself a boost of confidence. If you or a loved one is 50 or older, you're especially at risk from the worst outcomes of COVID. But you can still have a great summer. Boosters offer you extra protection from severe disease, hospitalization, and death from COVID. Have questions? Talk to a doctor. Find boosters near you at vaccines.gov. We can do this. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Oh, hi, it's Dan from Australia here. Recently, I was a skeptical Asian. The reason for that is it's kind of twofold. In May, I was in your country for work for a couple of weeks. I got thanked for my service a number of times, but was not thanked for being Asian during AAPI month. So I'm skeptical that that's actually a thing. And the second reason is because in Australia, we don't have something similar. And that's probably because 10% of our population is Asian, and we're in just to the south of Asia, so it's probably just a business as usual sort of thing. So I'm deeply skeptical that that's actually a thing, and I think that's just a marketing thing that you sell to the rest of the world. So change my mind. All right, thanks, bye.
Ooh, a skeptical
Asian in that he doesn't believe that NHPI month is real.
I think so. Also, what was the first thing? Was he talking about?
Said that he was in this country and was thanked for his service, but not for being Asian.
Is he in the military?
I was assuming that's what it meant, but I also, what if it was just being thanked for like his service of doing IT work?
Mm.
Like, I don't know what he was. I mean, I'm assuming it was.
He's a waiter. He's being thanked for. Thank you for serving me this coffee.
My food, yeah.
I was thanked many times for bringing out bread.
Yeah.
Fresh bread.
But
never.
Not for being Asian.
Being Asian. I love that. I love that. This guy, can I say very quickly too, this guy sounds more Australian than the other guy.
Yeah.
Are there different Australians?
I'm sure there's different accents. I'm assuming, right? By location, I would assume.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything.
This guy sounds more like if I wanted to do like a, you know, I got a boomerang and all that shit.
Yeah.
Australian. This guy sounds like that. The other guy sounds a little bit more clipped. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I think that is, you know, you caught us at an interesting time, Dan.
Yeah.
Because before I'd be like, of course it's real. History is important and, you know, identity and blah, blah, blah. I think he does bring up a good point, though, because I've never imagined, what if there were more Asian people in this country? Like, mm-hmm. when, like, you know, we're from the Bay.
Yeah.
And there's, like, mad Asians.
Yes.
Tons.
So many.
So it's not unusual to see a lot of Asians in a lot of places. But here's the crazy thing, Dan, is that when you, for a long time, if you had a TV show set in the Bay Area, mm-hmm. or a movie set in the Bay Area, no Asians.
I know.
Make no fucking sense.
I know.
What movie that was like that?
Well, I was, okay, I just watched Princess Diaries yesterday, which is set in San Francisco, incredible film.
Yes.
There are some Asians, yeah. like in the background. I guess Sandra Oh's in it. She plays the vice principal, but her last name is Gupta, which I thought was interesting. Oh, maybe okay. she's married to sure. in this world, whatever. But there really are, like, none of the main characters are Asian.
Right.
And I was like, oh, actually, one of the mean girls is maybe Indian.
Right.
But, like, really, you know, it's a very white Come film.
I think it wasn't
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Is How I Met Your Mother, is that set in the Bay?
Oh, no. How I Met Your Mother is in New York.
Oh, okay. There's a...
That's So Raven. Full House.
Full House. Full
very
House.
Very white. Very white. Yeah.
I mean, shit, some of the kids should be Asian in that show. the Olsen twins should be Asian. I guess I'm bringing this up because even if you were to have a lot of Asians, yeah. by not saying, like, acknowledging that there's Asians, that there should be, like, Asian representation and there should be a month or whatever, you could easily just not have, you could just, like, just push us out of the way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You could just be like, well, we're going to have the show set in Asia. I mean, set in the Bay Area or wherever there's a lot of Asians and just not have Asian people.
Sure.
It's the same thing sometimes. It's getting a little better, but like when I watch like a medical drama, mm-hmm. you know, like whatever, House.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are not all of the interns Asian? Just like, I mean, you want to be quote unquote accurate, yeah. right? Oh, well, you got to be accurate to, you know, represent, you know. Then everyone should be fucking Asian and all the nurses should be Filipino, right? And, right. you know what I'm saying? Like, that should just be how it is. But you caught us at a fun time, Dan, because we have realized that society is made up.
Yes. Also, this AANHPI, I hate how long it is.
So
it also does, it's a mishmash of people. It doesn't make sense.
Really, we should just split off.
But it was also a bad month. In general.
Oh, it was a bad month.
Yes. I remember thinking, wow, this May is not good.
Yeah.
I also, this AAPI month, I'm just going to say it, like the Asian month, is like a fairly new thing. It didn't like, it wasn't in the public consciousness until very recently.
Well, yeah. First of all, there, you know, definitely Asian wave is this thing.
Yes.
You know, the, you know, Crazy Rich Asians. They should just call it Crazy Rich Asians month. Because that's really the thing that kicked it all off.
That is true.
We shouldn't have like Asian American, Native, you know, Hawaiian, Pacific Islander. No, crazy rich Asians month / Bling Empire month.
Yeah,
that's what
kicked it off.
That's the thing that kicked it off.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, it wasn't it wasn't like any Asian American senators. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I Dan, you might be onto something in the sense that yes, this is all fake.
It's all fake, Dan.
It's all fake, Dan. I think it might be not real.
But I would like to thank you personally for your service and your Asianness. Whatever your service may be and whatever your Asian may be.
Please tell me that he's a waiter. Please, yeah, or an IT. No, he's a server. No. He's an actual server.
He's an AI.
He's like, oh, when I was jacking into America's mainframe.
Yeah. No one thanked me.
Nobody thanked me, though I'm processing 20 teraflops.
I'm an Asian AI. AI month.
First of all All AIs should be Asian.
Yeah.
Okay? You want to talk about Asian? Remember, all AIs, the A in AI is Asian.
Asian
intelligence. Not, it's artificial intelligence. No, it's Asian intelligence.
Oh, God.
Thank you for your service. connecting us to America Online. Oh, God. If you want to get up on this craziness, you can, again, leave us a voicemail, 646-809-7231.
Tell and if us you're international.
And if you're international.
Call us.
You can call us. You can still do it. I don't know how. This guy, Dan figured it out because he's AI.
Yeah, because he's an actual server.
Right.
His actual, like, what do you call it? Zeros and ones.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, it's like the Matrix. He was like. Yeah. Yeah. Anthony had to do, he's a real human. So he's like, how do I do this? But. Not Dan. Dan was like, accessing root server. Oh, my God.
You know what? I just want to hear more accents.
I do. I love that. I love hearing it. I love hearing different accents. You know, if you're
in America and you want to do an accent, call us and leave us a note with an accent.
Yeah. Dude, leave us a cool, like, Elvis one,
yeah.
Dude. You know, how to, I can't do it now.
I can't do it either.
I
couldn't do it from the beginning.
I couldn't do it either. Ha, ha, ha. I can't, see, that's terrible. All right, again, that's number 646-809-7231. Or if you are a server, it's... Okay, we're continuing on with the show. We got to wrap it up because we have a really big guest coming.
Let's
just do one of the Asian, not Asian game.
Okay.
Do you have one? Let's. We can think of one very quickly. I got one.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Asian, not Asian game, we will talk about something that we mentioned on the pod and talk about if that thing is Asian or not. Here's mine. Elvis.
Oh.
Is Elvis Asian?
Interesting.
Right?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
But I don't really see Elvis as a cultural touchstone for Asian people
yeah.
who like America.
Yeah.
Whereas there's other musicians that I think is more like to me, like the Beatles are so international, so that could maybe be Asian.
Beatles
but
seem more Asian, though not quite yet.
Yeah,
but
not
yeah.
quite, but like a little bit more like my like people in my family would know who they are.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go not. He feels like a white person's. Music.
He does seem very, very white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the historic kind of milestone moment for white people. Mm.
I would agree. I would say the I don't know who does a song, but it's like the saxophone. And it's like, never gonna dance again.
Yeah.
That is Asian as fuck.
Okay, but you're saying that's Asian.
That's Asian. That's like for people listening at home. Like, what's an Asian touch point?
Yeah,
that one. That
yeah.
saxophone. When my parents heard it, wherever they were, they yeah. were like, "We have to go to America.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't give a fuck what happened. We have to."
They just like hear that from the distance. And they're yeah. like, "Oh my God, we have to cross the ocean and go over there."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, that was a good one.
That's a good one. I think that one fun episode is if we watch the new Elvis movie.
Oh, yeah.
Not pay for it when it's streaming.
Okay.
I'm not putting money towards that.
No.
But, like, it looks so horrible. You seen?
I haven't seen it, but I will tell you, I don't like Baz Luhrmann.
Okay, I also am not a huge Baz Luhrmann fan.
Yeah, I don't like
it. But also, the funniest thing to me is that the Austin Butler, the main guy,
yeah.
now talks like Elvis.
All Have the time?
Seen? Yes.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he's like, hi, it's me, Austin. Austin, our new movie's out. And if you look at old clips, he's like, hi.
How'd it do?
How'd he do? He's like, oh, you know, when you're method acting, you might pick up parts of your character.
Kind
of
like, what's his name? Who played Daniel Plainview? You know how like Daniel Day-Lewis, like they
yeah.
say like whenever he plays.
Method acts.
Yeah, he like becomes, he takes a part of that character with him. So that's why
yeah.
he's all weird now.
Yeah. Okay, then method acting. Do you think method acting is Asian? Or not Asian?
I would say acting in general is not Asian.
That's true.
But if there was an Asian acting form,
yeah.
method acting, because it's about suffering.
Oh, it's interesting.
It's about like internalizing
yeah.
and like becoming that thing and like letting it like
ruin your life.
Yes. And then like come up through your throat
yeah.
and like, blah, you know?
Interesting.
That, I think... If my mom was into acting, she would be like, "What's the one with the most suffering method acting?"
Interesting.
And she would become, and then she would talk like Elvis. Ah, oh, ma'am.
Yeah.
Ah.
She'd be like, "Eat your noodles."
Is that a pasta sriracha?
Yeah.
Hey, you got some fall today? Yeah. Yeah. No one's listening to this podcast anymore. Okay.
That I was know, good. We've kind of like devolved.
We're going crazy. Okay. I'm loving it. Thank you, Australia, for hooking
us
up. Yes,
thank you.
What do you think? Is method acted Asian?
No, it's not. Okay. Because it would be like, you don't need to do this. You're being cuckoo artist. Just clock in, do your job. Acting is just your job. Do it and be a normal person and don't bother me.
You're doing cuckoo acting. That is such a fun way. Asian parents would say that. You're being cuckoo.
Yeah, you're just being cuckoo right now.
Well, I'll tell you who is cuckoo. Our fans, that's you guys. We love you. If you're enjoying what you're listening to, please drop reviews on Apple Podcasts. Take a screenshot and post it and tag us at Asian on Asian Pod. Let us know where you're coming from. Please leave a voicemail. Again, that number one more time is 646-809-7231. Leave us a fun one in a fun accent that is germane to your situation, however you want to interpret that. But that's it. And I hope you guys are keeping the faith. Remember, this is all made up. We're all making it up as we go along.
Yes.
You, me, the dumbass Clarence Thomas, who still is still now he's on Netscape Navigator because he finally got to that. Any last words, Jenny?
No, just take it a day at a time.
Take it a day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye.